afternoon. Today is Wednesday, December the 4th, 332nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the 1st, Rex Bone. Hey, guy.
Good morning. How we doing?
What, did you step into an Oklahoma stage here? Your gingham is looking stunningly green.
I am wearing green in celebration that our Irish supervisor from the 2nd District is back on the job.
Oh, I see. So she'll be out here in a couple weeks then, catching up.
She will. She looks great. It's great having her back, GPU meeting and the board meeting. It's great.
Good. Good, good. And hopefully we'll be able to say the same thing about this program when we're done, too.
Any luck at all?
No, lots of luck, baby. Lots of luck.
Yeah, maybe.
Got a couple things to talk about. Obviously, we've got the holidays, cold snap with the weather, some of the different challenges that are out there. As we roll into the holiday season, we'll find out what it all means when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Winston Churchill. Quote, "A lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants on."
In this day and age, is that the truth?
I think so.
Maybe
all the way around the world.
You know, this day of the internet and everything else, it's just...
Well, and the videos and the this's and the that's and the innuendos.
I mean, I get people calling me about things I've said that I haven't even said yet. They're already on the internet. Just absolutely amazes me.
Really?
Yeah.
They're clairvoyant?
I guess I think fast. I bet I'm the only one that'll ever say that.
Yeah. I think slow, but talk fast.
Yeah. I'm trying to change that.
Oh, geez. With the cold snap that has kind of visited us this week, does that trigger the shelters and all that discussion for the county? Is it tied to the time of the year? Is it tied to the temperature? What is the triggering mechanism?
The extreme weather shelters that Mike Newman and his crew and City of Eureka have worked so hard forward, and then Ryan has been working with the Family Resource Center and people in McKinleyville, and they now have an extreme weather shelter. And what kicks it off is amount of rain, and I think it's more than an inch in a 24-hour period, I guess. But the temperature kicks it. It's not the time of the year. It's like from the 1st of November till the 1st of May or whatever. But it's the temperature that kicks it off, where it can be... basically create critical harm to somebody that has to live in the elements, who is basically out in the elements living either by their choice or by happenstance of job loss, financial insecurities, things like that.
So when those conditions are met, does the county have a pro forma process it goes through? You got the location, you got the manpower, you got the monitoring, you got the lease already in place, and you fire up the furnace?
These aren't basically county-based. These are basically this. The one in McKinleyville is a faith-based. They've got a couple churches lined up. They actually have a van that all the cots and everything are in, and they go set up for it when the time comes, the way I understand it. And I know Ryan's helped out a couple times, and I'm sure, and they kick into place, and it provides a safe haven for people that don't have another choice.
Southern Humboldt, do they have one as well?
I believe so, and I can't say that for sure. I apologize. I can't say for sure.
Well, maybe you can get together with your newest, greatest, best Irish gal.
My little Irish gal that's back can fill me in, because I'm going to ask her now.
Well, glad to be of any assistance whatsoever.
Really.
When this stuff happens, though, Rex, if there's a capacity that's met, isn't there a legal requirement for the shelters to be available? So if capacity is reached, what happens at that point?
Well, in extreme conditions, I imagine we'd have to call a state of emergency. I don't know if we've hit that criteria. I know the rescue mission gets full. I know the extreme weather shelters have hit some numbers in the past. I think last year with our mild winter, I think they were only enacted like three or four times. It was actually a low number last year, and they were ready for it, and I think it was probably a good lead-in because last year was the first year for the McKinleyville one and the Eureka one was evolving even more. So I'd listened to a couple presentations by Mike Newman, who was spearheading that. So these and the county is involved. I mean, the DHHS is involved. They have the outreach. They have the SOS to make sure people are placed in, if they're in trouble, that they are well placed.
Does the county have the responsibility for food or any of those types of things, or is this just a shelter?
It's just a shelter. It's just a shelter in the truest sense. You have people like Betty out there trying to help people, putting clothes, and you have there are so many jacket drives or coat drives that they have that are it's a great way to get rid of clothes you're not wearing anymore, and it's a really great way to help somebody that actually needs it.
We also got a number of the different toy drives that are running now also. It's interesting. When I would think of somebody who needs something, toys would not be high on the list. I know that's probably sacrilegious and probably just stepped in something, but you'd think that the necessities would be more desired, whether it was basic clothing needs and things of books, perhaps. I mean, things that might be beneficial.
Books and we've got a couple little drives going through our office where we're helping people out, like at the Mac Center and things like that. And we pick people, and books and clothes. I mean, it's not necessarily when you say toys, but you have to understand that little 5 or 6 year old, he's in a position he didn't choose. And I'm sure maybe most of the time his parents didn't choose. But if we can give a glimmer of what normal, if quote-unquote normal life would be, and let that be a Power Ranger or a keyboard or something like that, I mean, who are we to deny him I'd much rather spend something on that than almost on the rest of the family, because we have what we need and it gets to be in excess sometimes. And when you hit that excess point, maybe you can reach out and help somebody. I know a lot of places, I know a lot of businesses now don't give out a lot of stuff to their business. They make a big financial donation to one of these companies and call that their Christmas gift.
KINS News and Information Times 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Alrighty, 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, the concept with the Toys for Tots and some of the fundraising activities that are going on out there. One of the things that I was pleased to see, the surprise, if you will, other than the size of what a handicap bathroom has to be, in Betty Chin's facility. Boy, I asked if they were either planning on parties in there.
Yeah. Beautiful
got a funny
facility.
Look. Yeah. The various needs for the various entities for clothing. You'd mentioned get if your size changes.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to have a size change, by the way.
Yeah. You and me both.
Yeah, that there might be some free clothes available. There's a place you can make some of that stuff available. Yeah, and I always kind of feel a little goofy because I don't want some of the stuff that's specific to me.
logo stuff and things like that. Yeah.
Okay, Doane College. Well, that's going to be a really tough one for anybody to target, particularly in the extra big sizes. But that there's really, I think, more of a need, as we were talking about through the holidays, for clothes and the basic essentials for families. Is there any clearinghouse for that the county has?
You know, I know Betty has a Dress for Success room, and she has a clothing closet, and she hands out a lot of clothes, and she will not turn down clothes. I give her, but people are always saying, "Can you take these to Betty? Can you take these to Betty?" And it works real well, and she gets it out. The Rescue Mission, I think, does a little bit of it. There is some disbursement out there, I think, where they can make it available. But you make a perfect good point, because I mean that's one of the big things they don't have. But the other thing, they don't have anywhere. A lot of the people don't have anywhere to keep it unless they get into some affordable housing and things like that. And then it becomes the utmost importance, because you can't go to get a job interview in the same clothes you wear, you know, every day. So right now you want to have, and like I said, Betty's got the Dress for Success room, and there's a couple other entities like that. So that's been a real good program if you can get connected up with it. And as for the toys, you know, we were discussing, it's just for those young people, it may be the highlight of their year. Who knows? You know, it just seems to me, you see them walking down the street, in a variety of, you know, their parents are in a certain amount of need or whatever the case may be, and they seem so carefree at that time. And it's a basic innocence of youth is what you would call it. And as long as you can keep that innocence of youth before what the reality of what's going on in their lives hits them, I think anything we can do to help that, I think, is very powerful.
What about food? Is that something that donating food? I know the churches will do it.
Churches do a lot of it.
Advent and stuff, but is there...
Food for People is an organization that... you know, they do the backpacks for kids. You know, they can take meals home on Friday for the weekend because they get the lunch programs. And some of our schools are 60-70% lower income involved in the lunch programs and things like that. So what Eureka City Schools does through that program, and then what the food pantry does down there at Food for People.
That's pretty much Eureka-centric, isn't it?
They get out a little bit wider in Eureka-centric, and Ann Holcomb does a great job. I mean, she's got a crew down there, and it's a machine down there. They've got distribution network that's pretty amazing, and they do such a great job of helping the people that need the help the most.
If you buy, like, say, a case of something at a Costco or one of the big boxes, you can just take it down there.
You can drop it off right there. It's at the corner of 14th and... we'll call it 14th and DMV. They're on the other half of the block of the DMV. they're on the corner of 14th and DMV. right across from Mission Linen.
That little
Coca-Cola, that whole little center down there. The building's well marked. They'll take canned goods, unopened goods, obviously, and things like that. But it's a nice way, again. I mean, it... tis the season to be jolly, but it also is tis the season to be giving. And
I now would think, you know, with so many of us having a really tough time giving cash to the corner residents.
I think that's one of the biggest, we do the homeless, we have a homeless group that's meeting. We're trying to address some of these issues. And I think part of it that a lot of cities have ever done is education. And basically, you get more bang for the buck if you give it to one of these outreach facilities rather than give it to the person on the corner, because there's two things. If they're not getting the money on the corner, they're not creating the situation, the traffic situation on the street corner and things like that, and it's better distributed. You get food, you get clothing, you get things along that line.
Yeah, it's not going to drugs and booze.
Well, I guess in a nutshell, that's it. Not that that's where all of it goes, but I'm sure there's a fair share of it.
It depends on who you talk to, I guess.
Exactly.
You know, the informal networks, they look at you and smile and twinkle.
Okay. No, I mean, there was a guy standing on the corner down there by Kinko's the other day. Why lie? I need money for a beer. And I really wanted to give him a buck because I loved his honesty. And I said, I've seen that sign before. So
Yeah, the creativeness is down a little bit. Yeah. And how many beers does he need?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was there 5 days in a row. I guess he was going for a six-pack. I don't know.
Or he's got a little can collection going on right behind him there.
Full cycle.
Yeah. But I know everybody wants to do something, but I think, you know, if we can channel it the best
for everybody,
then that has a chance to really get some
traction. And your church or a lot of these organizations, and the one thing about a small community if it's not legitimate, it's not going to be here very long. We tend to vet that out pretty quick.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, you guys had a chance to get together with, I don't want to say peers because that sounds a little goofy. Brethren, I guess, would be a little sexist.
I'd like to think of allies and equals.
Hey, you know, I'm gonna go back with brethren, I think.
All right.
What did you get out of CSAC this go around?
Well, you know, they hit a lot of there was a lot of on AB 109, and obviously in Tehama County's got some different plans they're doing. We've told Bill Damiano about there was talk about the grant funding we're trying for the SB 22, I think it is, or whatever, to expand the jail. Not that that's an answer, but it's a need. And the idea of getting together with 58 other counties, you know, and, you know, it's kind of hard to relate to San Diego and L.A. when they have, you know, 8 and 10 million. But it's sure easy to talk with Tehama and, you know, little Alpine County and things like that.
Is that group that Dave Tyson was putting together, the north of 20? Is that thing still?
Yeah, that still viable? Goes. Yeah, that still goes. That still goes in that, separate from the East West, but the North 20, that it really does have a lot, because we have a lot of the issues that people forget about. I mean, when they talk Northern California and these big wreck in Northern California, and then they show the freeway outside Fresno, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I'm going, extreme Northern California would be Santa Rosa, and I'm going, where the hell are we? You know, I thought we were extreme Northern. I thought Del Norte was extreme Northern California, but, you know.
I'm calling for Smith River, frankly, but that's okay.
But, you know, we kind of, when you drop off, when you figure out our populace and what we have, and, you know, we a little bit of, you go back to the Jefferson State thing, the part where we're not listened to, and it used to be back until 64, one person, one vote type of deal. You know, now it's, you know, you got 8 assemblymen cover the Bay Area, or 10 assemblymen, and we've got one from Santa Rosa up, you know. And
what is the status with Siskiyou County with the state of Jefferson? Was that just kind of dismissed, or is, you know, there a little bit of traction?
I think there's a little bit of traction. They followed what Colorado did, because Colorado actually had a vote on it, and it makes perfectly good sense of what they're saying when they talk about, you know, like the guy from Siskiyou said, you know, I'm having to put $6,000 into a tractor that's worth $5,000 for air quality, and we don't have bad air days in Siskiyou County. Even when we have forest fires, our air is so clean, we don't have bad air days. So we're suffering the sins of Los Angeles and the overpopulation down there. They're suffering the sins of a lot of, you know, statewide issues up in, you know, little, you know, Happy Camp and Syed Valley and all those places.
I guess the same thing coming down in Oregon also, once you get south of Eugene.
Exactly, Grants Pass, Medford.
There's, you know, not a lot of critical population. I guess Medford would be
Medford, capital. That little Medford, Grants Pass, Ashland, the valley right there is a, you know, and they've got some issues and things like that. But I mean, you're right, and those aren't big towns. They're nice towns, but I mean, I think even Medford's, I guess Medford would be comparable to Eureka. I think they're about the same size, aren't they?
Yeah, everything all lumped together.
Yeah. But, and, you know, and you got the Ashland and, you know, the Gold Hills and all that from Grants Pass. You got like a 50-mile stretch, pretty good little valley right there. But yeah, it's just the frustrations of having to deal with, you know, the big populace, and that's probably where the Jefferson thing kicked off.
Does CSAC recognize that?
You know, CSAC probably does a little bit. They're pretty aware of, you know, they serve the needs of all the bigger and smaller counties, but we've just joined a group called RCRC, which is the rural counties. It's 34 rural counties. I think it's counties.
Radio control of rural
counties. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's and we went over to, they had their, we went over to their meeting to check it out in, I guess it was October, late September, their meeting in Tahoe. And they had a, it's a great meeting, but it's all small counties, you know, 150, 170,000, there's 34 of the counties. And that's where you really, really, that's the northern half of the state with Imperial and a couple others down in the down south. But we were the only county that didn't belong. Mendocino, Del Norte, Tehama, all those belonged. And it was really interesting for me, a lot of the topics. One of the big things we don't have, one of the big things all the rural counties have, we all have beautiful recreation, especially if you want to hike, swim, or fish. We have it. We don't, you know, and even surfing and things like that. We've got it. And they've got, they were talking about the tourism dollar being spent and the how much money comes from that and the trickle down from that and things like that. And they're resource-based. A lot of the resources, and they're learning how to do it right, make it more palatable for both their residents and the people from LA that tell us how we should be doing it.
Yeah, like, it's amazing to me.
Like, we have no clue on what we're doing.
How consistent the profile is.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's pretty much in the same boat. Well, maybe instead of fishing, it's something else, but, you know, it's stagnation. So, probably economic stagnation would be kind of the underlying thing.
Yeah. So we're joining RCRC effective the first of the year, and there'll be another lobbying group that handles a lot of the smaller details that are big to us, that are very big to Humboldt County, but seem kind of like a pittance to maybe like an LA County or something like that. So, I mean, it gives us a little more ground to stand on. We're one of the big dogs in it, you know. I mean, when you think about all the smaller counties that are involved in it.
It makes you feel more important.
Yeah. Yeah.
But isn't that what we're trying to get away from?
Yeah, yeah.
Something to consider. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. But CSAC, they have, I mean, there must have been, I should have brought the book, 35 different breakout sessions that were very, very well attended across section. We were in San Jose at the convention center, and it was a pretty good conference all around.
So you had some weird ideas you can bring back?
Yeah, I mean, we've got some homeless issues we bring back, AB 109 issues, some bike and hike trails. They had a big thing on biking and hiking and making a healthier community. California Care, so you know, our version of Obamacare, you know, trying to get that, you know, forward, what people are adjusting to there. You know, some of the retirees are getting dropped from their plans. It's quite a circus on that, and I couldn't even fathom, you know. but it's a good place to go and hear what are you doing, what's working, what's not working.
Networking stuff.
We tried that. It really is, and it gives you, I mean, you got a whole new Rolodex of phone calls. You can, you know, people can say, hey, what's going on? And especially if you hear something that's going on, you can call and say, hey, is this really working? You know, because you get the news reports. There's weekly updates that come across the, what do they call that, internet. emails.
Too much time out in the woods, buddy. KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, there was a little bit of a flap that was reported in, shared might be the best way. I mean, those informal networks were going stupid crazy on it, which is really kind of interesting. Nothing really, I mean, it didn't seem like it was that big of a deal. Was it?
Well, I don't know. I anytime there's contact between, I imagine you're talking about the CSAC incident, and anytime there's contact between two peers, but I mean between a male and a female, it, to the level of it was, whether it was accidental or not, it creates a little bit of a problem, and it did create a little slight or aggravated injury with Virginia, and I can understand to a certain extent where Mark got caught up in the heat of the moment, but I hope he learned from this. I don't know if it's. There seems to be still a lot of flap going on about it, and we're hopefully we will work through it, and hopefully he learns from it, and if he needs to, you know, look into something different and make sure it doesn't happen again, I applaud him for that.
Well, it's between the two of them, isn't it?
Yeah, I was there when it happened, and it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different than a hired because we're elected, so we're appointing bodies. So I guess somehow the rules may be a little bit different. I don't know. I know Virginia is a little bit bothered by it as well as she should be because she didn't see what the deal was. It was about an appointment, and the appointment was changed, and there was 10, 15, 20 other people in the room that agreed with the change. But
now, I remember when HCOG was a big ripping deal. And Roger.
Yeah, exactly.
Tony was there. And he got knocked out for whatever political reason
you
can give attribution to. At the end of the day, okay, it's the board's decision. It's the chair's decision. And it rotates. And just because it hadn't for a long time and... Okay, fine. I mean, then you can fill in all kinds of stories underneath it, but it's part of the process.
It was an extremely unfortunate situation that it happened in front of other supervisors. Is, you know, in a public setting, makes it a little bit more, even more unfortunate. I would hope I would never go to those extremes. I haven't yet, and I I'm pretty old, and I haven't done anything like that yet, and I hope to say I never will. I mean, we all probably learned a little bit from it, but it's a situation that shouldn't happen. And as we move forward, we just have to make sure it never happens again. I think we all represent our districts, but at the end of the day, we all represent Humboldt County as a whole. And even though nobody's always going to agree with us, we still have to do what we feel is right for our, you know, our peeps out there and the people that we represent, and do it so people will look at a good eye with Humboldt County.
Now, you said you wanted to say a little something about your new office addition.
Oh, yes.
So we've got about a minute to take.
We actually have two of them, and I have to say we have Anna Hartwell. We have a new secretary in our office who's doing a great job. She's stepped in, and she's training period zero, and recognizing that, I have a new office mascot. I have a new black lab that we named Tack, that is after Tracy, Anna, and Kathy. So I figured if I named it after them, they'd help take care of it. And
yeah,
my wife's wondering why I don't leave it at the office all the time, because it's, I wouldn't say completely potty trained. It's getting there. Now it goes to the bathroom and then it runs to the door. And as I said, pretty soon we'll have that timing figured out. But yeah. We'll get that figured out. But how appropriate that is sometimes.
The message is delivered, however, right?
The message is delivered. It's getting there slowly but surely. But no, so we have two new additions to the office, one part-time and one full-time. And I want to welcome Anna aboard because she's been on about 5 or 6 weeks now. And she's just been a great addition, both with Tracy and Kathy. We were sorry to see Nikki go, but she got a position a little bit closer to home, so everything is working fine in the Board of Soup's office.
Good. Say hi to Estelle for us.
I will.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.